today is Open the Box. It's interesting that Carol and I have been in ministry for 45 years, and there is a couple here that probably heard some of our very first sermons that we ever preached, and Marvin and Joni might have heard my very first sermon. There are those that have sat under our ministry in this church that have sat under our ministry for many years, but for others it may only be a few months, or it may only be even a few weeks. Some may still wonder, what does this church believe, and what have I got myself into by coming to this church? I know that I've been told by another man that is very much, he wishes he could be with us today, and I sent him a note, and that was Harley and Carla, and I was checking in on them, and I sent him a note, and I said, how are you doing? And he come back and said, it's slow, we're moving slow, and I'm having a hard time with my back this week. And I sent back a note, the church is doing well. We had to order another 25 chairs, and I think that we're going to need to order another 25 before long. And Harley sent me back. He says, well, the only thing you can do about it is change your preaching style. Otherwise, you're going to have to keep buying more chairs. Harley was one of those guys that had always been in a Baptist church his whole entire life. And he said, you know what? He told me a long time ago, he says, I thought that I would always be a Baptist for the rest of my life, and look where I'm at today. It seems that no matter where that we have pastored over the years, it would become a melting pot of different believers. That we would have Methodists and Baptists and Pentecostal and Word and Christian and Church of Christ. We would have people that would come into the church. No matter your background, you want to know, no matter what your background is, I know that you want to know what I believe and why I believe it. That's very important for you, and it's very important for me to communicate that to you. Last week, we talked about the nation of Israel. And we talked about the relationship with the church, that today we are living during the church age, and we're going to talk more about the dispensation of grace, but that does not exclude from the nation of Israel. When we talked about the Abrahamic covenant, that covenant is in place, it was put in place, and it will always be in place, and it's never going to change. And that we see that during the tribulation period, we're going to see the nation of Israel return back to the Heavenly Father, and they will recognize Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We believe here at this church that God is who He says He is, and that God will do what He says He will do. We believe the Word, we stand on the Word, and we proclaim the Word to a lost and dying world in which we live in today. I believe that the church in America has become weak and it has become powerless because they only believe part of the Word, they only stand on part of the Word, and they have stopped proclaiming it. In John chapter 12, in verse 32, Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people unto me. I believe in the different periods, times of the Bible, so I have a dispensational view. So with that in mind, let's look at the church in a dispensational view, the church just before the Lord Jesus comes. Turn with me to the book of Revelations. Revelations chapter 3. Revelations 3. In Revelations chapter 3, you're going to go to verse 14. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, I get to the right spot, it says this, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And where we're reading in a dispensational view is that it's giving us a picture of what the church will look like before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all over this country today, we have church closes all over. If you've been on Facebook, you can find church pews to fill up 500 churches all over the country because of what the church has done. God has not stopped. Jesus has not stopped saving. Jesus has not stopped healing. The church has stopped believing today. So when you look at this scripture,
He says, these things says the Amen, the faithful true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on the throne as I overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This outlines a very good picture of the church in America today when you stop and think about it. Look at verse 15 again. In verse 15 he says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were either cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. We don't need God in these churches anymore in America. It's like we can do this all on our own. We have education. We have counselors. We have social workers. We can do this on our own. God, take a back seat and we will get this world straightened out and give it to Jesus when he arrives. Today in America, we are closing churches all over this country. And we should not be closing churches. Brother and sister, we should be building churches. Every day in America, 8,500 people die. 8,500 people die. So most days, there are at least 7,000 people that are bound to hell on any given day in America. When you look at the number and say 8,500, and I'm just rounding the numbers off, when you say 8,500 people die in America every day, and when we talk about in the North America continent that only 10% are born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that puts the number at about 7,000 every day that are bound for hell. What has the church done? The church has failed to do its mission. We can complain about Israel. We can say, oh, they didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah. They missed the boat. They were the chosen nation. They were supposed to take the gospel to the world. They failed. Well, brother and sister, I'm telling you today, the church in America is failing today. In the different periods of the time of the Bible, because you're wanting to know what I believe and what I stand on, or a dispensational view, there are seven distinct periods. The first one is the Age of Innocence. That's when we had the garden with Adam and Eve. Number two is the Age of Conscience, when they were evicted, and that time, by the time of their eviction until the flood. Human government is the third one. God's promises to Noah. The promise, the call of Abraham and the Abrahamic covenant. Then we had the Mosaic Law. Number five, the period of the law. Today, we live in the most beautiful church age that you could ever live in, and it's number six, and it is the dispensation or the time of grace. The seventh one is the millennial kingdom of Christ. We live in the most beautiful church age, the age of grace or dispensation of grace or the church age, right before the catching away of the bride of Christ. This is what it says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 15, no longer are we under the law, but we are under grace. Now turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 14 this morning. John chapter 1 and verse 14. In John chapter 1, verse 14, John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." In verse 16, "And of His fullness we have received, and grace for grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him to each and every one of us today." We have had the Lord Jesus declared to us. But what does He say in verse 17? "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ." The dispensation of grace started at the day of Pentecost and ends, as we know it today, at the start of the tribulation period. Now, when you stop and think about it, that even the Old Testament believers, when you actually think about it, were actually saved by grace, because when you stand before an awesome God, an awesome and powerful God that you could never measure up to, or you could never do enough right to be saved, it's still by His grace. But no longer do we have to sacrifice animals. We live under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And He was a sacrifice that ended all other sacrifices. He was the ultimate sacrifice because He was the Lamb without spot, without blemish. And we serve Him today. But this grace period is going to end as we know it today. There's a lot of discussion out there. Well, how will people be saved during the tribulation period if grace ends? Well, I've heard people say it will be by their works, and it'll also be by the grace of God, but it will also be by their works. You hear different things, but we aren't there, and we haven't lived through that yet. It's important for you to know that I believe that the age of grace, which can also be said the church age or the period of the Gentile, is the period that we are living in today, right now. The period of time when the Church of Jesus Christ takes the gospel to the lost and to the dying world. I believe that the book of Acts has never closed its covers. That's where I'm at. I want to say that again. I believe today that the book of Acts has never closed its covers. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 this morning. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. When I believe that the book of Acts has never closed its covers, then I stand on the Word, I believe the Word, and I profess the Word today as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the workings that took place on the day of Pentecost and through the book of Acts should be done today. And they have not ended. Not ended. And we're going to get more into that. But if you turn with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this. "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." And do you see that? How beautiful that is illustrated in the Scripture. He says, of all that Jesus began. All that Jesus began is still being done today through the power of the Holy Spirit. All that Jesus began. Jesus says it's expedient that I go so the Comforter can come. The Holy Spirit is universal. It is worldwide. We can worship Jesus Christ at crossroads and be filled and be touched by His Spirit. And you can worship Him in Japan and still be touched and moved by the Spirit. And people saved, people delivered, people healed by the power of the Holy Spirit, because it would become worldwide. "Until the day," in verse 2, "in which He was taken up after through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after his suffering by many undeniable, says infallible, undeniable proofs being seen by during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Can you believe that? That after Christ's resurrection, he was with his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection, teaching and proclaiming the truths of God. In verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He told them to wait. In verse 8, he says, and he explains to them, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house when they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And immediately there's confusion. As soon as this event happened, there was confusion about what had taken place. And you know what? When that happened 2,000 years ago, they're still talking about it 2,000 years later, wondering what happened. Well, the happening was that the disciples were filled with power. And when they were filled with power, that was the evidence of that power that they received. There's no denying that. Everybody believes that. Everybody teaches that. But does it still happen today? And what in the world, who are we to say that God is not doing what God says he would do now as he did then? Nobody. Can you tell me today that the book of Acts has closed its cover? And what do you want to take out? I've heard preachers say, well, you know, God is not healing people anymore. He doesn't do that anymore. But then he answers prayer. What? What are you trying to tell me? Are you telling me that it's no use for me to pray? It's no use for me to pray? I don't need to lay hands on people anymore when the book of James says, call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and they will be healed. I'm not supposed to do that anymore. Brother and sister, we have limited God to where he's in a box. And we only let him out of the box when there's things that we need. The things that we don't need. I believe every word of the Bible is for us today. And I proclaim to you that I believe that God is who he is and that God will do what he says he will do. I believe the word. I stand on the word and I proclaim the word of God. We don't need to back away from that, my friends. And you are my friends. You're my family. You know that. But we want to reduce God down to where we sing two songs and have a wonderful message and we all go out the door and go to supper. The power of God cannot be restrained. And when you restrain it, you get what you have in America. You have church after church after church that is closing. These pews came from a church that was closed. These things here that are precious in the sight of God, they got this lady's name on the back of it. This is a memorial. I don't even know the lady. In memory of this guy, Ernest H. Fierce. Did he ever believe that when he gave that to the church, that the church would be closed? Do you believe that what we're doing in this church today, that someday we're going to walk away from the Spirit of God, and someday we're going to close? Because if you walk away from the Spirit of God, that's what will happen. Peter spoke to the people about the confusion. If you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 14. And he says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, but this was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servant and on my maid servant, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Now go to verse 32, because I can't read it all. I'd be reading the Bible to you. In verse 32, he says this, then Jesus Christ is raised up, which are we are all witnesses, therefore being exalted in the right hand of God, and we have received from the Father the promise of the Spirit, he poured out this which is now see and hear. Church, I believe in the fourfold ministry of Jesus Christ, if you want to know where I'm coming from. I believe that Jesus Christ today is our Savior, that Jesus Christ today is our healer, that Jesus Christ today is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ is our soon coming King. We are not part gospel believers. We are full gospel believers. That the ministry is being carried out today that Jesus began, as we saw in Acts chapter 1, being carried out today through the power of the Holy Spirit. And there it is, we found it. And you say, what did we find? We found the missing part. A church must be led, guided, and directed, and powered by the Holy Spirit. By the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. If you turn with me to John chapter 16, we're getting closer to the end. Hang in there with me. John chapter 16. John 16 verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. And I love it in the old King James Version where it says it's expedient. That I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. The Holy Spirit not only came to lead, to teach, and to comfort, and to direct us, he came to empower the church. Look at what it says in John chapter 14 and verse 12. He says in John chapter 14 and verse 12, he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also. And greater works than these that he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you believe that today? There's too many Christians that don't believe it. The Lord tells us to keep on knocking and keep on seeking. In this scripture, it is amazing because it says in verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do. Now, how in the world can we get our mind wrapped around that we're going to do greater works than the Lord Jesus? We are able to do greater works than the Lord Jesus, not because of us, but because of the universality of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the world in which we live today. Jesus could only be in one spot. The Holy Spirit is worldwide. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, came to empower the church. We must be a church that is working through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? You as believers today, I love y'all. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what church you went to. If it was a Bible-believing church, we're not the only church you can get saved in. We know that. Our district superintendent said it the best. He says, we're not the only duck in the pond. We're just glad to be one of the ducks. There's other good Bible-believing churches, even around the area, that you can go to. And they're going to believe this very same thing that we're talking about today. But are they living it, and are they allowing the Holy Spirit to move in their lives? We must be a church working through the power of the Holy Spirit, or we'll die like every other church that's dying. The church must stop squelching the Spirit. Stop trying to control it. And take the lid off the box and let it power us. Be filled with the Spirit. The church needs to be filled with the Spirit. You and I need to be filled with the Spirit. And so many times, you think about in our praise and worship, what is it that you can give God that He needs? Nothing. There's not anything you can give God that He needs from you. But you can give Him one thing that He wants from you. That's your praise. That's your praise. To release that. And a church, if you don't focus on the Spirit in the church, our flesh will cool it like nothing else. Because our flesh is repelled from the things of the Spirit. It's not natural to you. The working of the Spirit is not natural. People have walked away from the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, they walked away from it because it made them feel uncomfortable. I can tell you something. 30 years ago, I was in a Pentecostal church because I pastored a Pentecostal church. And you know what the heads of the Pentecostal church said? Within 10 or 15 years, you will no longer hear messages or interpretations in your church because it makes people feel uncomfortable. And when people feel uncomfortable, they're going to believe that they're not going to come back because all of a sudden the Spirit of God is working in their life and they are repelled by that. That's day one of a church closure right there. When you say, I don't want the Spirit moving in my life, and I don't want it to move in our midst because I'm afraid people won't come to our church. You know why this church is growing? And you know why this church is going to continue to grow? Because we believe in the power of the Spirit. And the church needs the Spirit of the living God in this day and this age as never before. Let's pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank You for the Word today. We thank You for the Scripture. We thank You for the moving of the Holy Spirit in everyone's lives. I know that, Father, You moved on every heart and every life. And for some of us, it might have been a challenge. But we're up to the challenge because, God, we want You more than anything else. If it's going to make me feel uncomfortable, then Lord, I say, make me feel uncomfortable because I want Your Spirit to move in my life. I want Your Spirit to move in our church. I want to see people come to the knowledge of the truth and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We need to change the statistics, Father. The church needs to be about the Father's business. And we at Crossroads Gospel Church, we want to be about the Father's business. We want people to come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.